This is Full-Time Catholic Radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit.
And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. As promised, today we take a look at Pope Francis's new apostolic exhortation. This was promised right after the Amazonian Synod last October, and it was thought that this would be released by the end of the year. It wasn't, but here we are in February, and we do have it. It's called Guerreira Amazonia. It's called Beloved Amazon, and it sets forth the Holy Father's dreams, four dreams he has for the region. It stops short of endorsing married priests or women deacons, and we're going to take a closer look at it with Dr. Matthew Bunsen. Also coming up today, it's the birthday of Charles Darwin, and as we try to do, we try to take a look at what the spiritual and moral implications are for some of these historic moments. And in fact, when you look at Charles Darwin, regardless of what you think of his evolutionary theory, there's absolutely no doubt that it has been, along with Einstein's theory of relativity and Freud's theory of the unconscious, one of, and even more so than either of those, it has become a dominant theory. It not only affects the world of biology, but it affects all the natural sciences. And it has affected art, literature, philosophy, and ethics. We're going to talk with Dr. Richard Weicker, who has been on the program before with me, and look at the role of Darwinism in Nazi racial thought. This is important because there are natural applications of Darwinian thought that don't make for human flourishing. And we want to talk it over with him. From Darwin to Hitler, we'll look at evolutionary ethics, eugenics, and racial thought. But first, the headlines.
Thank you, Al, and good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Wednesday, February 12th. It's the Feast of St. Benedict of Anniani. And today's news is brought to you by Visiting Angels, providing loving care and assistance for seniors in need. Learn more at visitingangels.com. Pope Francis has released his long-awaited apostolic exhortation following last year's Pan-Amazonian Synod. Entitled Querida Amazonia, it offers a sweeping view of the region and called for the Church to engage with and defend the Amazonian peoples at the social, cultural, environmental, and spiritual levels. Even while emphasizing the importance of priestly ministry in the region, Pope Francis did not endorse a proposal from some bishops in the Amazon region to permit the ordination of married men to the priesthood or establishment of female deacons. More on this story in the first hour of today's program. The newly named COVID-19 is claiming more than 1,100 lives. Nearly 45,000 people around the world have contracted the coronavirus. Most of these cases remain in China, but two of the deaths took place elsewhere. There have been more than 500 cases of the virus reported outside of China. The CDC announced that it has screened more than 30,000 passengers coming from China into the U.S. for signs of the virus. And Democratic presidential candidates are preparing for Super Tuesday by hitting the campaign trail hard. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders now leads the pack over former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg after winning a tight race yesterday in New Hampshire's first-in-the-nation primary. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar came in third ahead of Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. President Trump easily won the Republican ticket, taking about 85% of the vote. Over a dozen states will be holding primaries on Super Tuesday. With your Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Dan McGraw.
Good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. Well, the long-awaited apostolic exhortation following the synod on the Amazon has finally come. We've got it. Pope Francis has a document which includes four great dreams, is how he puts it, ecological dream, social dream, cultural dream, and ecclesial dream, where he looks to the future. But we're going to discuss this at some length right now with Dr. Matthew Bunsen, who's been assiduously studying the document and also attending the press conferences there. Matthew, of course, is regularly on this program, but he's also executive editor of the EWTN News, a senior fellow at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, the author or co-author of more than 50 books, including the first English language biography of Pope Francis. Matthew, good to have you here.
Good to be with you.
All right. So this document that is released, it is an apostolic exhortation. Is that right?
That's correct. Technically a post-synodal apostolic exhortation.
Okay.
So that means it's specifically tied to the work of the synod that concluded last October. This is a very traditional type of a document.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So popes issue these typically after receiving the final report. In this case, it was the final report of the basically the regional Amazonian Synod, so that has to be stressed right at the get-go because that was a point of some contention and importance last October.
Yeah.
The hope was the Holy Father would have this out before the end of the year, but in an interview, Cardinal Michael Czerny, who is one of the special secretaries for that synod and who answers directly to Pope Francis as one of his most trusted advisors and as head of the Department for Migrants and Refugees, said that Pope Francis was simply too busy and really wanted to put some thought into this.
Mm-hmm.
So it, in its style, it's shorter than many. It's 16,000 words. It focuses, as you note, on ecological, social, cultural, and ecclesial topics. But above all, it's really not a point-by-point response to the final report of the Synod of Bishops, a controversial final report.
Right.
But it's really his meditation. It is an almost transcendent document in that way.
So we have the document that the bishops created at the close of the Amazonian Synod, and we have now Pope Francis' apostolic exhortation for that Amazon Synod. And he has done, he's made the unusual move of, in some way, presenting the synod final document along with his apostolic exhortation. So I guess the big question people will have, big question I have, does he intend this synod final document to be considered of the same magisterial weight as his apostolic exhortation for the synod?
Well, let's, if you don't mind, let's back up one step.
Yep, go ahead.
As we're looking at that very question, to a document in 2018 that Pope Francis issued, it's an apostolic constitution, which actually has pretty significant weight among papal documents, and it was called Episcopalis Communia. And in it, it's sort of revamping the work of the Synod of Bishops and the details and other things. And in there was a statement that should the Holy Father officially accept or officially approve the final report of a synod, any synod, it does receive the weight of what's called the ordinary magisterium.
Okay.
So that's important because in paragraph 3 of Querida Amazonia, Pope Francis talks about that he wants to, quote, officially present the final document of the synod, and he wants everyone to read it. That immediately caught my eye,
right,
and the eye of a lot of other people who were asking in the press conference today, what does that mean? Does that mean that he is accepting this? Is he approving it and thereby giving it this magisterial weight that would be essentially equivalent to an apostolic exhortation?
Right.
Or is it something else?
So the possibilities may be then, since does he use the word approve of the synod final report?
Well, and this is why this becomes significant. In the press conference, there seemed to be some disagreement among the very participants representing the Holy See at the conference.
Really?
Cardinal Czerny, in a way, finessed the question. The takeaway from some of that discussion was that issues that are still open to discussion that are not specifically enumerated in the apostolic exhortation remain topics of discussion. Now, we can come back to that in a minute about what those could be.
Right.
Matteo Bruni, who is the official spokesperson for the Holy See, reiterated that the final document, the final report of the Synod of Bishops, does not have magisterial weight.
Okay.
And then, adding to that discussion, this is the most important part, Cardinal Lorenzo Baldessari, who is the General Secretary of the Synod of Bishops. In other words, he's the person who runs the Synod of Bishops and was appointed by Pope Francis to do so and has been granted extensive authority to recraft the exoskeleton and the functioning of the Synod, said, we have to be very careful because the Holy Father is presenting but not approving. And he said, the language is very clear. I am officially presenting the final document, not approving it. So we have to take him at his word.
Yeah.
But that still raises a lot of questions about what we mean by open questions.
Right. Hold it there, then, because I want to summarize. So we have the final document that the Synod Fathers put together at the close of the Amazonian Synod. I've commented on that document before. I thought it was terrible.
And, that would be fair.
Yeah. I thought just the whole, even apart from the controversial issues, I just thought the whole, the theology that is underlying it struck me as hardly orthodox. But anyways, we've got that document. And now we were awaiting the Pope's apostolic exhortation, which traditionally comes at the end of a synod, and he is then giving us his reflections on the significance of the synod. But in the past, the apostolic exhortation of the Pope was different and set apart from the final document of a synod. Now, in this case, we have the Pope giving us his apostolic exhortation, and then presenting the final document that the Synod Fathers put together as part of his apostolic exhortation, or is this an extended footnote, or is this an appendix to it, right? I mean, how does it function?
Well, that's the question. I think the best way to describe it is that the Holy Father is offering it up. There does not seem to be sort of an official appending of it to the document, because it is what it is in the sense that it is the final report. What I think the charitable interpretation of this, and I will take Cardinal Baldessari in his word at what he means by presentation.
That's right. I mean, he makes a very clear distinction here.
Yes, presentation versus approval is that the Holy Father is trying to elevate the profile of this final document and is encouraging everyone to read it.
So it's like recommended reading after the apostolic exhortation?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. Now, the other thing, too, is that if we look at the way that the Vatican Communications Department is proceeding with this, their focus is very clearly on the apostolic exhortation itself. Up to and including, and this is an important thing that I would send people to read, and that is at Vatican News, an editorial by Andrea Tornielli, who essentially is in charge editorially of all Vatican communications at this point, in which he, again, focuses on the exhortation itself and barely references the final report.
Okay. All right. So I guess anybody who claims that the Synod final document carries the same magisterial weight as the apostolic exhortation is I think we can say, is wrong at this point.
Possibly, and that's the difficulty is that this is going to be a question that will continue to be asked. Are there issues, though, that are in the Synod's final document that are still open to discussion? And what I mean by that is, the Holy Father, as we have seen with Andrea Tornielli, talked about that the Holy Father does not foresee a change in celibacy or the ordaining of the viri pro body, nor does he mention it. He makes no call for the viri pro body. What he does call is a revision of priestly formation.
Yeah, in other words, he does not call for married priests in the Amazonian region.
That's right.
I mean, the National Catholic Reporter, which has been, kind of a championing a more liberal approach to the faith, actually leads, their story leads, Pope Francis has not granted a request from the Catholic bishops of the Amazon to allow for the priestly ordination of married men in their territories in order to address a severe lack of ministers across the nine-nation region. So their read of it is that he's clearly not granted a request from them. But you're saying he hasn't closed the discussion. He's not granted the request, but by including the final synod document, he is allowing the question to continue to be discussed.
Yeah, I think that's certainly one way of interpreting it. Now, what I found interesting is that he was, again, very clear relating to holy orders for women. I mean, that in this document, it's made manifest that he refers to that as the risk of clericalization of women.
Yeah.
And he extols the role and importance of women in the church in the Amazon. But he uses the phrase reductionism to give them holy orders. He calls it clericalization.
Okay.
And diminishing the value that they already have. So that is helpful.
So there's nothing then in the apostolic exhortation that would lead one to believe that he's in any way sympathetic to the drive to ordain women.
No.
Right. Okay.
Now
that's a settled issue for him. It looks as though.
Well, he has used the phrase in the past that the door is closed.
Yeah,
that's a quote.
That's right. That's right.
In exactly the same way, and this is brought up at the press conference for the release of the exhortation, Matteo Bruni made reference again to Pope Francis's long-standing commitment to clerical celibacy.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it's one of those things, though, that is likely not going to go away. I think they're going to continue to push this under the
Who's the they continue to push it?
Those who are in favor of the very probati and those who are in favor of the ordination of women. They are not going to give up simply because of this exhortation.
Okay. Matthew, hold it there. We'll come back and continue the conversation. Dr. Matthew Bunsen, my guest. We're looking at the new apostolic exhortation of Pope Francis. This is what he promised to give us after the Amazonian Synod. And the Amazonian Synod final document is included in some way in this new apostolic exhortation.
Crest in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Your faith is important to you. You've carried it with you through the years, growing closer to God every day. You can't imagine life without your faith, and Henry Ford Village wouldn't have it any other way. Henry Ford Village Senior Living Community in Dearborn features a large, beautiful chapel with Sunday Mass each week, a 24/7 tabernacle, and a full-time Catholic minister on staff. Close to church, closer to faith, and it's only the beginning. Call 877-796-3458 to schedule your personalized Henry Ford Village visit today.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
On January 12, 2013, Ave Maria Radio held its first conference, Catholic Witness in the Nation Divided. Notre Dame Law School's Professor Gerald Bradley led off the religious liberty discussion.
It's remarkable that at this moment, at a time when American society at least flatters itself as being more liberal, more tolerant, more pluralistic, and more diverse, more respectful of human rights than ever it was before. Now, for the first time, the law, in this case the mandate, aims to make martyrs of Catholic institutional ministries, notwithstanding this long history of, let's call it, hostility to Catholic institutions.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Dr. Gerald Bradley's Religious Liberty Talk was titled Present Peril in Religious Freedom. Listen on the next Putting on the Mind of Christ. It's heard this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Hello, this is Steve Ray, and who doesn't like a Mediterranean cruise? But this cruise is even more special because we're hitting 10 biblical sites. We're going to study the life of St. Paul and his ministry and where he visited, but also Mary and St. John. Got two great priests, Father Chris Alar from the Marians and Father James Conlon from St. Francis in Ann Arbor. We hope you can join us.
To learn more about your Ave Maria radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. With me, Dr. Matthew Bunsen. Taking a look at the new post-synodal apostolic exhortation of Pope Francis, and this is made more complicated than we expected, because Pope Francis has also presented the final document of the Amazon Synod. This is the final document that the bishops of the synod put together. At the close of the synod, and he has presented that document along with his apostolic exhortation. And the question is, what is the relationship between the synodal final document and Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation? So it looks to me as though he is simply saying, I want you all to read the final document of the Amazonian Synod, but I am not approving it. I'm only presenting it.
Yeah, I think that is certainly the case that was made by Cardinal Lorenzo Baldessari.
Yeah,
and that means that we also do have to go sort of point by point through the exhortation.
Yeah.
And understand what his thinking is. What is the mind of the Holy Father on many of these topics?
Right.
Because if it is apparently, to take Cardinal Czerny at his word, and I do, that there could be issues that are still to be addressed or discussed, and that's certainly something that we saw even encouraged by Pope Francis at the Synod, and that has consistently been his style. Now, relating to the specific topic of the viri probati, I'll read, just if I may, very briefly from Andrea Tornielli's editorial for Vatican News, and you can find that at vaticannews.va, where he says on the question of ordaining married men, quote, this topic has been discussed for a long time and may continue to be discussed in the future, because perfect and perpetual continence is not demanded by the very nature of the priesthood,
right,
as the Second Vatican Council stated.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on, though, on such questions, the successor of Peter, after praying and reflecting, has decided to respond not by foreseeing changes or further possibilities of exceptions from those already provided for by ecclesiastical discipline, but by asking, here's the key, that the essentials be the starting point. So he wants to have, as Tornielli writes, a vivacious and incarnated faith, a renewed missionary thrust rooted in the grace that allows room for God to act rather than on marketing strategies or the communication technologies relied on by religious influencers. And the document itself, and this is something that was also stressed by Baldessari, calls for a renewal of how we're forming priests, a renewed effort at fostering vocations. So essentially what it's calling, and this is true for the other aspects of this document, ecologically, socially, and culturally, for an engaged, active lay participation in helping to foster those vocations. So he's really seeing this as this has to be a grassroots reality. We strengthen the church in order to find those vocations, which I think there's a very good argument that this has been successful every time it's been tried in the history of the church. And this was one of the topics last October.
Yeah. Yeah, so it sounds like those who were hoping that he would ask for or he would approve these viris probatae, these mature men who could be ordained priests, married men who could be ordained priests, he certainly has not permitted that. He's not called for women priests. I mean, is there anything in this document which challenges our understanding of the Catholic tradition?
Well, it's very poetic. The language of this is intentionally, I think, florid. He sprinkles through it a lot of indigenous poetry.
Okay.
It begins with the very title, Querida Amazonia, the beloved Amazon, says, stands before the world in all its splendor, its drama, and its mystery.
Mm.
That's how this exhortation begins, and it sort of just continues in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
So, as is very traditional and typical with Francis, we are seeing how he describes enculturation is, again, very poetic. It's very visual. So there could be some room for possible misinterpretation.
Yeah.
But what he's really continuing to stress is that in these four dreams, the ecological, social, cultural, and ecclesial, what he's really trying to do is to ignite the zeal of the church in the region. And it's very clear that this is something that's close to his heart and a great concern to his, especially on the ecological and ecclesial side.
Okay. Well, let's go, if you don't mind, can we get a quick summary?
Sure.
Of each of these dreams. He structures the document around these four dreams that he has.
He does.
Go ahead. Want to take up the social dream first?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's what he looks at with that is how we're going to go about improving the quality of life for those who are actually living in the Amazon. Now,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about millions of people. This
right.
is a region that I think is, 2 million square miles. It takes up 9 different countries, mm-hmm. from Brazil to French Guiana. So it's an immense region. And
it's not just uninhabited. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is these include cities, too.
Well, yes, and one of the things that came as a surprise to a lot of people, that we have this mental image of the Amazon,
right.
as this vast, endless jungle,
right.
Something out of the Indiana Jones movies, or Dora the Explorer, and what we're actually looking at are immense cities, because about 80% or so of the Amazonian population, if I'm remembering the stats of the time of the Synod, live in cities,
yeah.
which brings its own set of problems.
Right.
Especially because they are living in the cities because of what's happening in their traditional homes,
yes.
Which we're looking at with deforestation and other things. So on the social side then, he's looking at poverty, injustice, and crime, as well as what happens to a society by forced migration, the exploitation, human trafficking, and all of the problems that are endemic to what's happening also on the economic side and, of course, on the ecological and cultural.
Okay. So does he address the issue of multinational corporations that are exploiting the region?
Well, he does, and he does it really in two ways. In his discussion on the cultural side, he really looks at the indigenous peoples, and he goes back to one of his recurring themes in the Amazonian Synod, which is to, and I actually agreed with this at the time, that we have to look at these people not in the traditional way that colonizers do, as savages, but genuine. These are genuine cultures, and exactly the same way that the Church has always seen the dignity of the human person in whatever cultural setting we find them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so we have to be very careful, as he puts it, of these sort of unfair generalizations. But then he brings in the impact then on consumerism. One of his hallmarks of this pontificate has been his concern about postmodern colonization, of ideological colonization, and the impact that brings on cultures. And that impoverishment that destroys because of the needs of a globalized economy, that, as he puts it, shamelessly damages life and impacts families. So on the cultural side, it's this rush of external influences through these transnational corporations, but then there's also the loss of faith that can accompany that.
You know, it would be helpful if you would actually name some of these things. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'd like to know who's doing it right and who's doing it wrong.
Well, Ed, I think he's reluctant to name specific corporations because he's dealing, especially in this exhortation, with principles.
Mm-hmm.
And that wider vision for the Amazonian region that he's trying to impart. And then we get into the back and forth about, well, is this actually, what is this transnational corporation doing, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that we can note is when he was in Africa, he visited several countries, including Mauritius and Madagascar, and the impact, for example, on just the rosewood trees, on rosewood.
Yeah.
The Chinese government, for example, is cornering the market on it. It is harvesting Africa for that. So those very specific types of examples are helpful.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. So the social dream, he lays out the importance of raising the quality of life for the people of the Amazon region, help the poor, combat crime, fight injustice. He talks about the danger of this he picks up the cultural vision, the cultural mm-hmm. dream that he has. And there he's talking about making sure we don't think of the inhabitants of the region as uncivilized savages.
Right.
And we don't drive them. The idea is that they have to run to the cities, and when they go to the cities, they adopt a consumerist vision. I have to say, though, I mean, I get all that. I just think it's awfully general and vague.
Yes. Well, one of the challenges from the start with the Amazonian Synod was trying to define our terms and define who's actually being impacted.
Yes, yes.
In part because we're talking about 190-plus language groups. We're talking about hundreds
right.
of tribes and individual cultures and how each one is impacted. So I think Francis, in a way, tries to deal with that by looking, especially on the ecological side, by focusing on the Amazon River itself, and the great importance of water in the life of the Amazon. He uses in the Apostolic Exhortation the descriptive of, it's the spinal column, the Amazon River, of the whole of the region. And then raises that it becomes a microcosm for the problems facing the wider world, and then that allows him to go back to his concerns expressed in Laudato Si and the Care for a Common Home.
Okay. This you mentioned is a poetic document. It's kind
yes.
of a love letter, and he's trying to, you know, create. I mean, in some ways, it strikes me as strange. I'm not even sure when we talk about the Amazonian region. We're talking about nine nations. We're talking about how many languages?
By last count, or
yeah.
You hear around 190 potential different language groups, and yeah.
And so you've got those who are inhabitants of jungle regions, tribal groups. You have, again, very sophisticated cities. I'm sure there's a middle class involved here too. And I'm just wondering, How focused can this exhortation be, given the intended audience? Can you give me another segment here, Matthew?
Yes, I can.
All right. We're going to continue with Dr. Matthew Bunsen. Again, it's very clear, I think it's very clear, that Pope Francis in this document is giving no latitude for the ordination of women or even for abolishing clerical celibacy.
He was a bold and zealous prisoner for Christ Jesus,
He traveled and suffered for our Lord. Yes, this is St. Paul. On Tuesday, March 10th at 7 p.m., Steve Ray presents Life and Times of St. Paul at the Corporate Travel Office in Northville. Be inspired as you hear about the adventures St. Paul had and the cities he visited. This is bound to be a great evening. RSVP at ctscentral.net/sr-stpaul. That's ctscentral.net/sr-stpaul.
Camillus Christi's 28th Conference for Study and Prayer is a weekend event aimed at helping Catholics understand their faith. Familiar guests include Drs. Lawrence Feingold, Robert Festigi, and Mary Healy. Here's Father John Ezrati and Tom Nash. The two-day event is at the Inn at St. John's in Plymouth on February 22nd and 23rd. To learn more, go to milischristi.org. That's MILESCHRISTI.org. And hit the events tab. That's MILESCHRISTI.org.
Understanding the theological and pastoral issues related to the experience of our brothers and sisters with same-sex attraction and gender identity is tough. Ave Maria Radio invites you to activate your faith by participating in a workshop by the Archdiocese of Detroit that addresses these issues from the perspective of youth and pastoral ministry. Building off Archbishop Vigneron's pastoral note, Father Dave Tomaszynski and Father Steve Polis, Director for the Evangelization and Ministry Discipleship, will address the Catholic Church's theological foundations of the human person, as well as pastoral responses to the experience of our community members. The event will be at Sacred Heart Major Seminary and is $10 per person. You can register online at the Archdiocese of Detroit website. For more information on this and other events, and to add your event to the community calendar, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Just click Community.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is the logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. The strong nuclear force, the strongest physical force in the universe, holds atoms together. If the strong nuclear force were just 10% weaker, atoms would fly apart and Earth would disintegrate. And if the strong nuclear force were just 4% stronger, the hydrocarbon atoms in your body would fuse into heavy metals. Most remarkable, this strong nuclear force is only active within a few quadrillionths of a meter around each atom. That life in the universe are so finely tuned is something to appreciate. Today, tell someone how you appreciate the wonderful way creation is designed. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Are you looking for an affordable option for your health care? You feel compelled to support pro-life efforts in our country? Then now is the time for you to join CMF Curo. CMF Curo is the country's first healthcare sharing experience that engages church teachings by offering truly pro-life healthcare. CMF Curo members experience healthcare that's ethically consistent with church teachings and rooted in Catholic community. Learn more about CMF Curo and find Catholic healthcare options at mycatholichealthcare.com.
Are you tired of investing in the culture of death? Would you like your investments to be in line with the Catholic Church? Would you like an advisor who is a fiduciary and who understands retirement issues while sharing and respecting your Catholic beliefs? Contact Joseph Vitale at American Retirement Advisors at 855-756-5700, helping you preserve your retirement while preserving your beliefs and values. Call Joe at 855-756-5700.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Creston. With me is Dr. Matthew Bunsen, talking about the new apostolic exhortation of Pope Francis, which follows the Synod on the Amazon. Again, at the close of the Amazonian Synod, the bishops put together a final document. We discussed that document when it was posted at the close of the Synod. And we have eagerly awaited Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation following the Synod. And what he's done is he's given an apostolic exhortation, but he's also presented the bishop's final document from the Synod. So the first big question was, well, what's the relationship between this apostolic exhortation of Francis and the final document of the bishops? Right now, it appears as though there's a distinction made between the Pope presenting the final document from the Synod and the Pope approving the final document from the Synod. It's clear that he wants everybody to read the final document of the Synod, but it seems also at this stage anyways clear that he's not approving it as an extension of his own apostolic authority. So this new document is divided up into four distinct dreams. This includes a social dream, a cultural dream, an ecological dream, and an ecclesial dream. And the kind of the literary style of the document is rather poetic. It's kind of funny because he actually plays into the kind of the romantic notion of the Amazon region as magical, almost enchanted. Do you get that impression reading the document?
I did, and I think Francis has a deep and abiding love for the Amazonian region.
Yeah.
There was a video that was played during the press conference. There were a couple, but one in particular was in Spanish and then shifted over to Italian. It was talking about finding new ways of evangelization, other things. But the part of it was videos of Pope Francis when he visited the region, and you can tell that this is something that's important to him.
Yeah.
And that is expressed very clearly in this exhortation.
There was some concern at the close of the synod that there might be people who would push for an Amazonian rite, a distinct rite for the Amazon. Of course, at that time we said, how are you going to do that with so many different languages and different tribal cultures and urban cultures and rural cultures and farming communities? How do you come up with, you know, a brand new Amazonian ritual? And I think, did he address this at all?
He does. And this is one of the things that in this exhortation, more than even some of the other ones where there was some anxiety about what might end up in the thing because of what was in the final report, I think in particular of Amoris Laetitia, people were worried about what was going to be in Amoris Laetitia. In this one, it's what's not in Querida Amazonia.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, the Amazonian rite is not there, save, and footnotes with Pope Francis's documents are very important, as we discovered with Amoris Laetitia.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's footnote 120, in which he simply makes the reference that the proposal was made for an Amazonian rite during the Synod. Period. That's it. That is his only reference to it.
Okay.
He talks about enculturation, about the need for proper enculturation, and for respecting cultures and other things in that process, but there is no discussion here of an Amazonian rite in exactly the same way that there is nothing in here about the very probati.
Okay. So, again, he's sounds as though he's willing to let people continue to have a conversation, and he wants there to be proper respect for the various songs and dances and symbols of various Amazonian people, but there's nothing here. Does he mention the Pacamamas?
No, but this is, I was asked during our coverage of the press conference by Tracy Sable from EWTN News Nightly, but if I had a surprise in this document, and I did actually have, there was something of a surprise here, and that was his stress on the Blessed Mother, which I was very happy to see.
Yeah, yeah.
He frames it twice, in fact. He uses the beautiful imagery of the Blessed Mother when he's talking about the role of women. And this, he stresses that we always need to look at the Mother of God. And he says in that he underlines the importance of women contributing to the church in a way that is properly theirs by making present the tender strength of Mary, the Mother. And then he also goes back at the very end, as is customary with most encyclicals and exhortations, to Mary, calling on her to reign in the beating heart of the Amazon. And he then ends it with, "We trust in you, Mother of Life. Do not abandon us in this dark hour." So that was a surprise. Now, Mary, I look at as the complete antidote to the Pachamama.
Right.
It is possible, though, that as Edward Penton notes in his coverage of the exhortation, that he sees a possibility that there may be a kind of oblique reference to the Pachamama when the Pope says, let us not be quick to describe as superstition or paganism certain religious practices that arise spontaneously from the life of peoples. It is possible to take up an indigenous symbol in some way without necessarily considering it as idolatry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the Church has done that throughout the centuries.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's... Okay. So that's good. I guess what I have to say, as I've read through the document, and I've looked at the, I haven't looked afresh at the Synod final document, but I guess what strikes me here is that anybody who was expecting a concrete prescription of changes that one could make, it's not here.
No, except for his call for that sort of renewal of the life and how we're doing formation and other things.
Yeah.
But again, those tend to be very vague, and that's not a huge shock.
And one could apply that exhortation to most regions of the Church.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this is, by intent, a transcendent document. That also puts considerable focus on, and this is something that Cardinal Gerhard Müller commented on in his own analysis of Querida Amazonia, that this is a kind of document of reconciliation, that Pope Francis wants us to move past some of these conflicts in the Amazon, conflicts that take place in the families of the Amazon, and... Mm-hmm. This might be a stretch, but perhaps even some of the conflicts within the Church over some of the fraught issues that were discussed at the Synod.
Right.
I'm hoping that's the case,
yeah.
And especially on the issue of things like the very probati and women deaconesses. Now, it's a fine point to make, but it's an important one because I don't think that question is going to go away. Pope Francis closes the door again on the question of holy orders for women. But let's not forget that one of the arguments that is made by progressives is that, in fact, the ordination of women to deacons or deaconesses is not part of holy orders, which, okay, that's an argument, but the reality would be how it would be seen and interpreted and what it would eventually lead to.
Right.
So that we have to be careful about those who are not going to give up, as I was saying earlier, on some of these key topics, and that includes the viri probati, that includes... the potential of some form of women's ordination and the potential of an Amazonian rite where some, if not all of that, could perhaps be nested.
Mm-hmm.
So on the issue also of the Amazonian rite, when it was raised at the press conference, a helpful reminder was provided, I think it was by Matteo Bruni or Cardinal Baldessari, that the person at the end, whoever is developing such an idea as an Amazonian rite, it would fall under the Congregation for Divine Worship. So this isn't something that would simply be crafted and put together and implemented in Central America.
Right.
Left unsaid, also, is one very important question to my mind. And that was a proposal that came in the final report about the creation of a kind of supra-diocesan episcopal conference in the Amazon that would take together all of the nine countries that comprise the Amazon into a sort of super episcopal conference that would have vast influence. That ties us into the question of what's coming, and that is Pope Francis's reform of the Roman Curia. If that document that has a working title of Praedicati Evangelium, you know, Preaching the Gospel, does in fact elevate the importance and authority juridically of episcopal conferences around the world, that becomes a major issue for the very questions that potentially have been left unanswered in this exhortation.
That would require a massive change in our understanding of bishop, the role of the local bishop.
Yes,
I have to say, I'm not an expert in this at all, but I just don't see that this is not, for all the discussions that Pope Francis is permitting to go on, he's not really a revolutionary type of pope. I mean, until we see, I guess, how he restructures the jury, maybe that'll change. But this document doesn't have any dramatic or disconcerting conclusions to it. And if you're talking, maybe I'm overstating this, but if you're talking about giving canonical authority to bishops' conferences, that's a direct removal of the authority of the local bishop. That's diminishing the authority of the local bishop.
That's right. And expanding in a way that is not foreseen, certainly, in recent in church history, but even in recent church documents. The role, the canonical or juridical place of episcopal conferences was examined.
Right.
And it's, that itself is filled and fraught with all sorts of problems.
Right.
The reason that that matters is because we have this proposal for a pan-Amazonian Episcopal Conference, but let's also not lose sight of what's happening in Germany right now.
I was just going to say, why does the Amazon get this supra-Episcopal Conference when Europe's been around for so long, and there are a lot of bishops over there that would like, especially from Germany, that would like to see kind of a supra-European Bishops' Conference headed by Germans.
Right. Well, they seem to be doing a fine enough job of demolishing things just on their own national Episcopal Conference level.
I just saw one story claiming that made the point that one of the bishops there said that Jesus did not become a male.
That's right.
He became a human, and thereby removing from Jesus the particularity of gender. So he becomes kind of an abstract human nature with legs, I guess. this strikes me as actually heretical.
Well, yes, and that was called out, I think, by the Ukrainian bishops, who issued a rebuke on this, and I'm assuming other topics that have come up for discussion in this synodal path on the part of the Germans.
The Germans, yeah.
Right. So all of this matters, and the weight of the synod final document, is it magisterial? Is it not? This isn't simply a debate among canonists or theologians.
Right.
It matters because there are those in the church right now, theologians and bishops, and sometimes heads of episcopal conferences, who want to utilize what was in that final report and to give it as much weight as possible for the implementation of their own vision going forward.
That's right. I think it's important to point out, too, that never before in the history of the Catholic Church have lay people been so aware of these kind of internal questions. We've never had the kind of communication systems that we have today. And so as you and I discuss these things, and we follow the debates and discussions, we need to remember that this is unique in the history of Catholicism. Never has there been so much information given to so many different lay Catholics, and we should not let that disturb us. Try to remember, it is a blessing after all.
Yes. But we always have to keep coming back to the basic question as well, the fundamental one. And Pope Francis and always asked this. How are we becoming holier in all of this?
Amen. Yeah.
How are we proclaiming Christ Jesus?
That's right. Our life project is conformity to Christ. That doesn't change, no matter how much information gets flooded into our brains. All right, Matthew, thanks much.
A privilege to be with you. God bless.
We'll talk again. Dr. Matthew Bunsen guiding us in our discussion of Querida Amazonia, the new apostolic exhortation of Pope Francis. There'll be further conversation about it, too. I'm Al Cresta.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, in memory of Ted Pastuszka on the anniversary of his birthday in 1932. Ted is now with his Lord, but he is remembered with love and joy by his wife Irene, their 5 daughters, 17 grandchildren, and 9 great-grandchildren. He prayed and promoted the rosary and was a fantastic guy.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
I remember when we found out we were expecting you, and we were so surprised.
You were?
Yep, but then we heard your heartbeat and knew you were going to change our lives.
Hello, I'm Marian Koharski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know that conversations about right to life have become very heated, even angry. We stay away from that political fray. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options. We're here to help both mom and the baby, and we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Please call 1-800-366-7773. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at prolifeacrossamerica.org.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. I thank you for being with me. We will have lots of follow-up material for you in the Cresta Guest Archives there, a number of articles that are looking at, from different points of view, looking at this new apostolic exhortation in Garida, Amazonia, beloved Amazon, where Pope Francis lays out four dreams that he has for the Amazonian region. Also, the key debate is going to be for a few days yet whether his presentation of the synod document has apostolic authority. My answer to that is no, it doesn't. More coming up next hour. From Darwin to Hitler.
This hour of Cresta in the Afternoon is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.